Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to a post-game Sunday victory podcast, the Pewter Nation podcast. We are live from Raymond James Stadium, overlooking the field where the Buccaneers.
No, whoa. 2-0 Buccaneers.
Get it right. 2-0 Buccaneers. That's right. The 2-0 Buccaneers have defeated the Philadelphia Eagles by a score of 27-21. Ricky Bell with 142 yards. Leroy Salmon with two sacks. Ron Jaworski. David Lewis with six tackles. Richard Batman Woods with nine tackles.
No, actually, Josh Freeman had a big game today.
That's right. It was Freeman. I'm sorry.
Aurelius Ben. Yes. Mike Williams. Cadillac Williams running the ball. Yeah. Doing a great job. Actually, the last time the Buccaneers were 2-0 to start the season was 2010, and they finished 10-6. Just missed the playoffs. That was your Raheem Morris young re-Buccaneers.
I just have one question. Bucks. Since the Bucs beat the Super Bowl champions from the year before, does that mean that they are now the Super Bowl champions? Well, is that how the Super Bowl works?
I mean, it's the way UCF does things. I mean, you know.
No, they never played Bama.
They technically should. The Buccaneers should get a partial. Oh, actually, it's the way SEC teams that cheer for Alabama when they win the national championship. They think you guys think you get a mini championship
what do you mean,
trophy.
Thank you. I got rings in my closet, dude.
Yeah, no. Buccaneers haven't done anything yet. Let me introduce. I'm Mark Cook along with Scott Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema. Go ahead, Reynolds.
I just remember that Ric Flair said in order to be the best, you got to beat the best,
you know?
And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers
really? Ric
did
Flair,
that.
I mean, that's a great prophetic statement, but it came from a fake wrestler?
He was a real wrestler.
Oh, no. He was a real wrestler.
Oh, oh man.
Wrestling's
Nature
fake,
Boy.
Isn't it? Woo!
No, it wasn't woo-hoo. It was
just woo.
Woo! I just say woo. Woo.
Okay.
If I ever meet Ric Flair, I'm just going to walk in and go woo.
He's probably going to do that too because he's really old.
Yeah, that's true. Well, guys, I don't know how many of us expected
this. You know
who else is
old? Ryan Fitzpatrick is old. But if you looked at him during the press conference today, I mean, he looked kind of trendy, kind of hip.
I just want to talk. Right. Yeah, I just want to.
What was that movie with Jamie Kennedy where he was like a rapper? What was the, y'all remember that movie? Late 90s, early 2000 movie?
Yeah.
That's what he kind of looked like when he came out with his sunglasses and the shirt unbuttoned and the gold chains.
It was Deshaun Jackson's getup.
Yeah.
He was wearing Deshaun's clothing.
This team is having fun, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And I mean, you know, you guys have covered it from a media perspective a lot longer than I have. But even, you know, just going through it last year and obviously growing up in this area, I can't tell you how much better it is to cover smiles instead of sadness, right? And it's just such a different feel. You get to tell a different kinds of story because, you know, you obviously got to tell both. You know, you got to tell when things go well and when things don't go well. And for the Buccaneers, you know, the last 10 years, they just haven't really gone well. But, I mean, Fitzpatrick dressing up at the podium and Deshaun coming in shirtless and being like, hey, what are you doing with my clothes on? You know,
and Dirk Cutter being so friendly with the media. Oh, wait, never mind.
I mean,
he was a little bit. He didn't insult anybody.
He answered
anybody,
a Tom Jones question.
Yeah. Wow.
You know?
That's right. He did.
Did he confront
Without,
him afterwards?
No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't.
No, really?
He didn't. So
no curse words.
It was, it's just so different. It's so different to cover this team, especially with going off of last year when every week it just seemed like you guys are screwing up. You guys are screwing up. How are you going to fix it? I don't know. It was just 17 straight weeks of that crap. And, boy, is this season just night and day.
It really is. And the thing is, you know, we're not being homers by saying that we enjoy seeing these players, coaches, personnel guys.
Because that would be homophobic.
I guess so. But listen, these guys put in an awful lot of work. They do. In the off season, training camp, et cetera.
Yep.
And they put really, I don't want to say the same amount of work. They're putting in more work because they're having better results this year.
Mm-hmm.
But even last year, they put in a ton of work. I mean, there was blood, sweat, and tears, injuries galore, and all of that. And you just didn't get the payoff.
I didn't see enough blood last year.
There was some blood.
Should have been more.
Probably should have been more, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But now you're seeing the flip side of last year where all of that hard work is paying off and coming together, especially in the offensive side of the ball.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, when we had our how are the Bucs going to do this season prediction, we went in and we had our totals of what we said. But this year we didn't necessarily do a game-by-game breakdown of it. But as I was going down the schedule and I was coming up with my percentage or when they were going to find wins, I actually thought that they were going to win this game.
Yeah.
But even though I thought that they were going to beat the Eagles – it's a lot different when you beat the Saints, and then the Eagles, and now you're sitting, you're staring at a Pittsburgh team that looks extremely vulnerable coming into town next week, and it's almost unthinkable.
It's a very dangerous team, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Mike Tomlin.
Oh, no question.
What, 0-1-1 team?
It ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be easy, but, you know.
But you know what? These are the games. Monday night's game is the type of game that a Warren Sapp didn't sleep the week before, right?
Yeah, national television. He slept during the week.
Well, a little.
Maybe not the night before.
But a national TV game, a chance to show the nation that this is a different football team. And, you know, look, people saw this football team last year on HBO Hard Knocks, and the results were a 5-11 football team.
Yeah.
And there were publications that were predicting this team to be 1-15. Sporting News calling you out. Guess they're wrong.
Do
showed
it.
You.
Yeah, but, 1-15. Give
you know,
me a break.
And so they've already doubled that, obviously, which is nice. But, you know, this is an opportunity for this organization. For this can be, and Scott, I'm not going to go completely crazy here, but we remember that 1997 season when it started 5-0.
Yeah.
Coming off a 6-10 season. And, mm-hmm. you know, there was people that were expecting to be a good football team, but I don't think many people expect them to go 5-0. And I don't think anybody has expected this Buccaneer team. When they looked at the schedule, then Jameis Winston's suspension came down, that this team could go 3-0. Although I think we all agreed, after we watched the preseason, and mm-hmm. I said it and tweeted it, and I think you guys agreed with me, I didn't think it was going to happen, and I just still don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I said, there's as good a chance that they go 3-0 as 0-3. Now, I didn't think either one was going to happen, and I still don't know if either one's going to happen. But, you know, we saw life in this offense with Todd Monken calling plays, some creativity. Being more aggressive, utilizing the talent that they had in the preseason.
High percentage, big explosive plays on offense.
Right.
Absolutely.
And they came out, and you called it. Hey, touchdown, first play of the game.
I did.
He did.
I actually called it. Mark Cook gave me a prop bet.
Yep.
I guess it's like mycookie.ag.
Yes.
Right.
And by the way, we're going out of business.
Yeah. So I. So
after a $5 loss today, I went out of business. I folded. So don't go to that website.
In the press box, Cook looks at me and he says $5. They go 3-and-out on the first series.
Right.
And I said, I'll take that bet. I said, as a matter of fact, I think they're going to score a touchdown the first play of the game. And that's exactly what happened. And
which they've never done in 43 years.
But just something about it. And I don't know what it is. I predicted a 2-0 start for this team. I did it before the season started. I predicted the Saints win, even though Brent Grimes was not going to play in that game as a late scratch late in the week. And I stick with the Buccaneers this week, and they're 2-0. Now, the thing is I do have them being 2-0 and finishing 8-8, and they end up losing in Pittsburgh, going back to my original predictions before the season. I'm going to have to reevaluate that because I'm right now inclined to pick the Buccaneers over the Steelers.
It's not even inclined in my mind. This football team, I mean, unless Ryan Fitzpatrick blows out a knee in practice this week.
They're going to be favored.
They're going to be favored in this game.
And
there's
going to
be a ton of energy in this stadium.
But you know what? And the thing is, I was wrong because I was on radio this week on 620 talking about the fact that the Bucs were going to win, and I almost got the score right. I said, I think 26-23, it ended up being 27-21. But I thought that the running game would show up this week, that Peyton Barber would get 100 yards, not 150, but maybe like 100 on the nose. But I thought Ryan Fitzpatrick would have half of what he had in New Orleans. It turns out he almost had the exact same type of game with 4 touchdown passes, didn't have a rushing touchdown this week, but still threw over 400 yards for the second week in a row and completed over 75% of his passes.
Every radio interview I did this week, I said, well, you know, listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick's not going to throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns again.
Yet he did. Yes.
Exactly that.
Magic is real.
Hence why mycookie.ag is out of business now. I got to get out of the prediction business. Although I did pick them to win today, but, you know, again, I didn't see it happening in the way that it did happen today.
Weren't they up 27-7 at one point?
And moving before the
Evans fumble. They beat the Saints, they were up on the Saints 48-24.
Yeah.
Like both games. Not only did they win,
It
wasn't even close.
Right.
They controlled the whole game.
They decided to make it close at the end of both games.
Right, but it's that to me shouldn't be how you look at necessarily they went into the game. Like they did not just beat these two teams. They were in full control the entire time. I mean, sure, they gave up points at the end in both contests to make it way more closer than it had to be, but that's more on like you just got to know how to close out a game, I think, on a defensive standpoint for sure.
Well, right.
And it's more tougher to do that.
Both of them, you know, the thing that impressed me the most was they closed out both these games essentially offensively.
Yes.
You know, last
yes.
week with the scramble good by point. Fitzpatrick to point. Close it out. And except for this quirky, silly, ridiculous rule that the NFL right. has, it would have been over at that point. They yeah. would have never had to even punt the ball back to the Eagles at that point. So, you know, that's something that this team hasn't been able to do in a long time. They call it the four-minute offense. You know, and in both weeks in these wins,
it's come through. It's it come has. Through. It's come mm-hmm. through. It, the one thing that I want to point out is this was an incredibly hot game today. You saw a lot of players, Buccaneer players who trained down in this heat. It was sweltering.
They need to get rid of that indoor facility. It's hurting them.
yeah.
Making them soft.
I think the Buccaneers, after today, would like to have a roof over the Raymond James Stadium here, some kind of dome stadium, because mm-hmm. it was ridiculously hot. You saw the Buccaneers' defense really kind of gassed in the fourth quarter. The Eagles went on a lot of long drives. But you know what, Mark? At several junctures in the second half, especially when Justin Evans got hurt, your safeties were Isaiah Johnson and the rookie Jordan Whitehead. And your cornerbacks were rookies MJ Stewart and Carlton Davis and third-year guy Ryan Smith, yeah. who actually played his best game in the NFL, according to Dirk Cutter. I wrote about him in my Fab Five. And some of you Buccaneer fans out there, I caught some flack. I caught a lot of crap. And I tried to tell the story in this Fab Five that this is a different Ryan Smith that we're seeing this year. He's more confident. He's got more experience. He had a nice pass breakup, almost maybe could have had an interception. He had two phenomenal plays on punts, making tackles for no gain. And
that's what this secondary did.
I really
today.
Think that he took a big step. Is this guy going to be a Pro Bowl cornerback? No, he's not. But can he be a competent cornerback in the NFL? Yeah.
You know what he should be a Pro Bowler at? Special teams.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I wrote the most impressive list. I don't yep. think I even mentioned that on there, and I should have because
I put it in there.
Good because he absolutely shined again yep. on special teams, and when they got rid of Josh Robinson
yeah,
and Shepard the year before,
yep.
you wondered who was going to step up, and it's certainly been him as well. And
who's the other gunner?
He's a guy that
no. Who's
yeah.
the other gunner?
Freddie Martino.
Oh, Martino plays it
on some downs. Okay. Yeah, and they also have
sometimes Ali Marpet.
Right, yeah, of course.
That's yes. why he doesn't have any special teams tackles this year.
yes.
He's usually about 40 yards behind yeah. the play.
He's yeah. just pancaking the guy in front of him.
he's the safety on that play. He's the guy that's going to make the last minute
He actually
tackle
stops on the opposing bench, takes a shot of oxygen, has a seat, and then walks
Gatorade.
Back across the yeah. field after the tackle's made.
Yeah. No, it was really a trial by fire and heat.
Carlton Davis played a lot better today, which is great. Really I mean, did. Again, this is what you want to see from your young corners. If you've got them going in tough situations, you know they're going to struggle. They've just got to have – and a lot of people could talk this kind of game. Yep. They can be like, oh, you know, I just got to learn from it, go back next week. But it's different. You know, it's different when you're out there and you might get in a couple catches again yep. against you. And you've got to be able to – the whole short-term memory thing – it doesn't exist for everybody.
Right.
It really doesn't.
Yep.
And Carlton Davis, I think, showed a really good mentality for a corner of one that you like.
Imagine the secondary with a healthy Brent Grimes and a Vernon Hargraves in it. Because Vernon Hargraves was probably the best defender in the secondary on the field
yeah.
last week before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And he's done for the year, unfortunately. You know, the thing about Carlton Davis is he was able to bounce back from a game that demoralized a guy like Vernon Hargraves his rookie mm-hmm. year, right?
Yep.
And Ryan Smith.
Yep.
And even in his second year. So, you know, he was able to bounce back, and that's huge. And I said to Scott during the game.
He's a little different wired guy. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
He really is.
I was walking down the hallway at one Buccaneer place, leaving open locker room, going back to our media room, and he was walking by. And he's in his own world, man.
Yeah.
He's a
focused dude.
I don't know if he's focused or a little odd, but whatever. But you know what you notice about this guy? He loves to play football, mm-hmm. man. But when we talk about confidence and guys hanging their heads, Carlton Davis absolutely, when he makes a mistake, hangs his head, but it lasts that long.
Yep. 1 second.
We saw the expression
Short-term
on his
memory.
Face. Trevor, you were up in New Orleans, but Scott and I were mm-hmm. watching TV when he gave up that 2-point conversion
to Ted
Ginn.
Yeah.
You know, he just dropped his head. And you wondered, you know, is this going to affect him moving forward?
And
but he came out here today yep. and it didn't. And the one thing the secondary did, maybe I already said this because I'm getting old and I'm getting forgetful. They just tackled really, really
they
well.
Did.
They gave up some yards.
That's
going to happen.
Point.
But
yep.
they made sure tackles. There
was
very,
a lot better this week.
Very
yes.
few missed tackles in this game.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree.
Chris Conte did a phenomenal job with his tackling. We've seen Justin Evans, Trevor, when we saw the Buccaneers draft him in the second round a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big question mark, was his tackling ability. And he was a lights-out tackler today.
And yeah, really, last year, too, he wasn't a bad tackler at all.
Ryan Smith made a lot of key tackles.
But who Scott, would have actually bet that he would become a good tackler? I mean, if you were to bet, who? I mean, I wouldn't even know where to go if you were to make a bet like that.
Well, you can't go to mycookie.ag anymore because they're
out of business officially.
But thankfully, mybookie.ag is in business.
Ah.
Yep. And listen, folks, I've made money on the Buccaneers. I made money on my predictions these last 2 weeks. And you can, too. If you think you know who's going to win these games via the point spread, or whether you're betting prop bets, or, just picking whoever, however you want to bet, there's a million ways to do it at mybookie.ag. The best part about it is we've got a promo code Pewter. If you mention that, they're going to double your initial deposit.
Up to $1 million?
Not up to $1 million. It's up to $1,000.
Oh.
But that's still a lot of money. So if you put in $250, they're going to, boom, put $500 into your account to start with. So mybookie.ag, they've got the fastest payouts in the business. And highly recommend them. We've been using them for the last couple of years now at pewterreport.com. Didn't do so hot in college football this particular weekend. But usually I clean up on college football. So whether it's college football, NFL, MLB, we're going to have hockey starting up in just a little bit. So when it comes to sports betting, NBA, college basketball, you name it, mybookie.ag is the place to go. I don't know about that.
Oh.
Not sure.
You
I'll
might be able
find
to,
out about
you know.
That.
Might be able to.
Yep.
Hopefully Florida State's women's gymnastics team is pretty good this year. We need some good good vibes up in Tallahassee right now.
You really don't.
I've turned into one of those, cheering on the women's softball team winning national
Cook
championships.
Cook is just looking for a win.
Hanging my hat on anything.
He ragged on me so hard for that.
Oh, my God.
And, how the tables are turned.
Yeah. the 2-1 Gators over there.
It feels good to have
East
a winning record, doesn't it?
The Colorado State, boy, they're tough. Anyway, hats off to you, Trevor,
Hey. Play the game. To me, Chris Godwin's block on O.J. Howard's run.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Chris Godwin, real deal.
No doubt about it.
The thing is, O.J. Howard ran 60 yards on his own. I mean, it wasn't like he caught it 50 yards in the
Godwin
air and went
kept
another
up
25.
With him
yes.
While blocking another human being.
Yep. That was Malcolm Jenkins who was blocking.
I know.
Yep.
Blocked him.
He blocked him for 25 yards in that play. And you know what? Listen, Jason Light, you can't nail all your draft picks right, and the 2016 draft class looks pretty bad right now. Noah Spence was a healthy scratch. Obviously, Vernon Hargraves is on injured reserve. So that 2016
Roberto Aguayo draft. Flipping burgers.
Yeah, it's looking awful.
No, he's spending Buccaneer money. He got a nice signing bonus as a second-round pick.
He did. But you know what? Look at this 2017 draft, right? O.J. Howard, first round.
Stud.
Justin Evans, second round pick.
Stud.
Chris Godwin, third round pick.
Stud.
I mean, right there, those three players, huge impacts today for the Buccaneers in this win. And you're seeing, too, and Mark, you pointed this out, Cam Brate.
Two games.
Zero catches for Cam Brate.
They don't play him.
Why
would you play the guy that's less good?
That's right.
Sorry,
because you paid him $6.9 million.
Right, but
guaranteed 12 and a half of it.
Hold on. Here's a question.
No, I understand.
When was Cam Brate's contract up? Because it was an extension that he signed, right?
No. He was going to be a restricted free agent.
Right.
Restricted free agent.
Yeah. This year.
Yes. He was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep. That makes me feel a little bit better. Because I thought that he wasn't going to be a free agent until. A restricted free agent until next year. They just wanted to try to organize their cap a little bit, and I'm like, yeah. That was dumb.
But you know what? If O.J. Howard goes down,
we saw him
go down late last year.
Not saying that
you've got a guy.
Not saying that
you're not going to miss a whole
Cam
lot.
Cam Brate is bad.
Right.
You know it is, but obviously, maybe pay him a little bit less to catch zero balls in two games. You know.
Well, I don't think anybody expected it, but we did expect O.J. Howard to take that next step.
But we talked to coaches in the offseason that did expect it. You know.
Yes.
And so that's kind of my thing is that if the cap isn't a problem, if Greenberg truly is kind of the guru that we think he is, and the Cam Brate contract is
just
whatever,
call him a guru,
a guru,
not a gnu.
If he is a gnu,
not
a
gnu.
If Mike Greenberg is the emu we think
just
he
say
is,
salary cap wizard.
If Mike Greenberg is the igloo we think he is, contracts are not. It's like they're not going to be in a bind.
Yeah.
Then it's fine.
Right.
You know, they got some big guys coming up over these next couple of years. They got some hard decisions to make, and it might be a little bit harder to see that a tight end you're not even throwing the ball to is getting this much money.
Well, one decision they're not going to have to make is Jameis Winston. I mean, they can cut him now, right?
You know, they're not going to cut
say
him.
That, but,
no, they're not going to cut him.
I actually had somebody text me today. Would you give up – would you trade Jameis for Josh Allen in a fourth-round draft pick right now?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
Holy cow, no.
Absolutely not.
That's the worst idea
I've
ever heard.
I'm not going to reveal who texted me that, but his name rhymes with Pike Mepper. Used to work with him at a radio station.
Yeah, Mike Pepper. He asked me the same question in the press box.
Yeah.
And I just, like, was stunned and baffled by that. Like, it made no sense whatsoever. Listen, Jameis Winston is...
Wait. If Ryan Fitzpatrick's 27 and playing like this, you consider it. Not 35.
No, yeah, definitely not 35.
Right. I think that's the people. That's the thing that, look, I mean, I've had a lot of people text me, talk in conversation, everything, and
that's
a lot of people
true.
Talk
not that
about
many
this
people
thing.
Text
you're right.
And call you.
They think it's a wrong number. It's a
yes.
wrong number,
yes.
And I
yeah.
and I just
the Instagramming.
To it.
send him a story.
they asked me, they're like, so what do they do with Jameis now? Do they trade him? Do they cut him? And
no,
people got to realize
he's on the team. He's the future.
People got to realize
you cut him with a 35-year-old quarterback.
Right. That's
with
the thing.
A beard
like
of Zeus.
Even though, I mean, even if this magical run continues, and let's say out of nowhere Fitzpatrick plays the entire season,
mm-hmm.
you're still not moving anything with Jameis Winston. They
no.
had to convince Ryan Fitzpatrick to not retire
exactly.
to come back to this team.
Yep.
That's where he was in his career. So this changes. The Fitzpatrick stuff changes nothing long-term with
Correct.
Jameis.
It
changes things short-term in
right.
terms of this season,
yeah.
but it changes nothing long-term with Jameis.
Absolutely.
Scott, we're sitting here in the press box. How long has that boat been over there in the end zone?
That pirate ship?
Yeah.
That pirate ship was erected with the stadium in 1998.
I don't know that it's seaworthy anymore, do you?
No, it's not.
If I were going to take that boat out, I would probably want to go get it checked out somewhere.
There's no doubt about it.
I just don't know exactly where I would take it.
I would take it to T.A. Mahoney's.
Damn it, of course. Every week I forget.
Yep.
T.A. Mahoney's is your one-stop shop for all of your marine needs, even including getting your pirate ship back in the water
yes.
after 20 years.
John boats, pontoon boats,
pirate
ships. You name it.
You know, they probably
they will make it seaworthy.
If your cannon is rusty, they probably have something to get the rust off of your cannon on your pirate ship.
Agreed. If your sails have been
yes.
battered in battle,
yes.
they will probably have the equipment necessary to replace your sails.
You know, I don't know that that's Coast Guard equipped, but if they go to T.A. Mahoney's, they can get everything they need to make sure their vessel is 100% Coast Guard equipped, meaning all life jackets, sound-making devices, flags, everything they need, they can find it at T.A. Mahoney's. Since
yep.
1948, T.A. Mahoney's has been serving the Bay Area, family-owned and operated. Mike and his family are huge Bucks fans. They do a tremendous job. Also in the community, we don't talk about this enough, guys. They just did a big sale yesterday where they raised money for some fishing derbies for kids, and the proceeds went to that. A few months ago, they had a fried fish shrimp dinner for free. Just a community outreach
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to
They're
say thank
people.
You back to the community. So yep. anyway, go check out T.A. Mahoney. If you can't stop by, go see them online, tamahoneyco.com.
Do they have cannonballs?
You know what? If you can still buy cannonballs on the open legal market,
yeah.
I would go ask Mike about it because he'll find them for you. And
gotcha.
If not, he may go just dive down to the bottom of the Gulf and
get
find a wrecked part of it.
Get an authentic one.
Yeah, find you one.
That's the kind of customer service we're talking about here at T.A. Mahoney.
The reason I ask is because, you know, you mentioned whether the pirate ship here at the stadium is seaworthy. I'm just wondering if they're going to run out of cannonballs because that cannon has been firing.
You know, it has been firing with scores today, but it didn't catch me in the red zone because I don't think the Buccaneers, they were only in the red zone like one time today, right? I mean, they were scoring from distance.
Hey,
that's a good problem to have.
Hey, can't fail in the red zone if you don't get there.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying?
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Wait, here's
Kirk Cutter is outthinking the system.
yes, yeah. he is.
He's like, you know what? Todd Monken said, we chose to suck last year in the red zone. You know what? So
we
screw
it. Not to go
we're
to
not
the
even
going
to
go
in
the red zone.
75 yards. Screw it.
And the interesting thing is, Chris Godwin had the red zone touchdown
yeah.
today. The Buccaneers are 3-0 in games when Chris Godwin scores the touchdown.
He scored three
only.
In a row.
Facts right. only. Facts
three games
only.
In a row, going yep. back to the season finale last year against the Saints.
Yep.
Scored last week and this week. So the key is, Dirk, if you want to go 16-0,
get just Chris Godwin a touchdown.
Let him score a touchdown.
We got to at least touch on this. The rule at the end of the game with the clock is ridiculous, is it not?
Well, it certainly favors the defense, yeah. It essentially, if you're the defense and you're hoping to get the ball back, then you're helping yourself
right
there.
I thought about this. It helps you maybe, and it did in this situation, but in a lot of times that penalty that you're going to have on the defense is going to give you an automatic first down, which this would have had the Buccaneers accepted it. So you're not really helping yourself, but this was kind of an odd situation where they had burned their timeouts, and you had the 2-minute warning coming up.
Yeah, but like that's—it's
a dumb rule. I agree
because exist.
I told Trevor, I said they penalize the hell out of the offense if a guy gets injured by doing this runoff crap.
You
can't compromise the integrity of the game.
Right.
Yet defensively, apparently you can. Now they didn't try to. But I thought it was
you can't get an advantage for getting a penalty. That's got to change. Yeah. And the only reason, I believe when Dirk Koetter was at the podium and somebody asked him about this, he said you can't accept or decline it. It's just a penalty because he said he couldn't accept or decline it. It's just a penalty.
I remember that's what he, which is like a false start.
Right.
Like, you can't decline a false start.
Right, but why?
I don't know.
You know, like, I get a false start, I guess.
Yes.
But it's a pre-snap would
type deal. You can't decline that, right?
I mean, No. That makes sense. But, yeah. I mean, the play's running. Why would there ever be a penalty that you can't accept or decline?
Well, and the thing is, it's if you decline a penalty in a game, that an undeclinable penalty, it's as if it never happened.
Correct.
It doesn't show up on
and
the
Mike
stat
Evans
sheet.
Laid in bounds for a first down.
Right.
It just, that doesn't, that was so awful, and that's got to get changed, like, so quick. That has to be acceptable penalty.
But you know what? I can't remember that ever happening in any game I've ever watched.
But
no,
all you have to do is make it an acceptable penalty,
that's
right?
True. Right?
Why would you ever take the option away from a coach? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That was bad. Well, you know what tomorrow is, guys? It's Victory Monday.
It is.
There's only one way to celebrate a Victory Monday.
At
with
Ford's
a beer.
Garage.
With a beer at Ford's Garage. Absolutely. And here's a special we're going to run. 1 cent off hamburgers.
What?
Yes.
Get out.
You go get a hamburger at Ford's tomorrow. You send me your bill. I'll send you a penny back.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm serious.
It's illegal to mail. Are you going to mail them a penny?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
You can't do that?
No.
All right, well, you know what? That's
you gonna
not.
You write him a check?
There's not.
Give him a cashier's check.
I'm going to go to the bank, spend $10 to get a cashier's check, then send them 1 cent. But in all seriousness, guys, we are going to do something on this podcast. Whoever tweets Ford's Garage, tags Ford's Garage in it, says they appreciate him sponsoring the Pure Nation podcast, we're going to take all of those and we're going to draw one lucky winner for a $50 Ford's gift card. $50 Ford's gift card.
There you go. So
now listen, if you live in Idaho, please don't enter. Well, please enter anyway, but we're not going to send you a $50 gift card unless you plan on coming to Tampa.
We can.
Kind of a waste.
What if they visit Tampa, though?
That's all right. You know what? Yeah, we don't care where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be in the continental world. Not United States. Like, you can't be like on Mars, the moon,
correct.
Something like
the
that.
Continental
but
world.
If you're in the continental world, you're eligible to win a Ford's Garage gift card. And you know what?
Like a there's continental breakfast?
The continental world.
Is that like
I
continental breakfast?
Well, you know, you see this sometimes with disclaimers. You have to be living in the continental United States.
Yes.
We're gonna expand that out to all the continental world within our solar system.
So what you're saying is you have to live on a continent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You have to live on a continent.
Yes. Even Antarctica.
Well, that's a continent.
It's a continent. If you live there, there's no Ford's Garage there. However, there might be soon because
people
they are expanding
are
everywhere.
Right now.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's their fault.
The one Trinidad Tobago Bucks fan.
Small
livid,
island, a lot of water.
Livid right now.
Their fault. They're
sorry, you
Samoa,
don't live on a continent.
Vita Vea's ancestors
rules
are
rules.
Pissed.
Bermuda.
Yeah, out of luck.
Throwing a fit.
Plus, if I try to
Fiji.
Mail a Bermuda.
I don't know how they got Wi-Fi
beside
over
themselves.
There, but, you know.
Well, anyway, go check out Ford's Garage. You can check out FordsGarageUSA.com. You can find out all of their locations, their specials, all of their menus at their different locations. I'm going to be going to Ford's Garage again this week. I am in the mood for some salmon, or as we say in Plant City, some salmon. And
salmon.
That's the way we say it. There is an L in it. Why would it be silent? It doesn't make any sense.
It sounds too close to salmonella. To
I say salmon. I say P. pneumonia. I say pterodactyl. I don't use silent letters. I refuse to.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I think that's your cell phone ringing right now.
Yeah, my cell phone. Or just cell phone. You're right. Anyway, check out Ford's Garage. Tell them you're a proud. Tell them we appreciate them being a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Tweet, and then tomorrow we will draw a winner from all of the tweets to Ford's Garage, and we will get you a Ford's Garage $50 gift card.
They have to tweet a picture of their food, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, what if they haven't been there yet, but they're planning on going? All right. All right. Well, Anybody who's been to Ford's Garage, tweet a picture of your food.
Yeah.
And put that in there. Put in there hashtag PR podcast. And what we will do is we will, all of those people, we will select one winner and mail them a $50 gift card anywhere in the continental earth.
Along with the penny, right?
No, I take the penny back. No, Trevor said that's illegal, so we won't do that anymore. Right. So anyway, guys, I don't want to use the word shocked. How about pleasantly surprised? Is that probably the best thing we can say?
Yeah, that's about right. Because I'm not shocked. I thought this team would win these two games, and they did. So I'm not shocked. What I am shocked is
how they've done it.
How they've done it. The just proficiency with which Ryan Fitzpatrick is running this offense right now. Todd Monken's play calling and Ryan Fitzpatrick passing the ball has been spectacular these last 2 weeks. And I didn't see that coming. I didn't think this offense would be this good out of the gate. We saw glimpses of this. We saw, you know, a lot of points, a lot of yards, the passing game, etc., in the preseason, and that has carried over into the regular season, but it's just kicked up a notch.
I'll just say this. I mean, going into the season, what was our big thing, right? We heard it all last year. We heard the hype. We watched Hard Knocks. We saw the signings. We wrote the articles. We did the podcast. We did everything. We got burned for it hard last year. And going into this season, you and I and Mark, all of us, we were like, you know what?
Show us.
Me. Yep. Show me.
And that's exactly why I predicted this team to go 12-4 this year. See, I was actually 1 year. I was in an alternate universe last year. I meant 2018, guys.
Yeah, I picked him to go 12-4. Came to you in a dream, and he's like, predict 12-4, and you did, and now he's going to come to you and be like, you idiot, it was the wrong year. The wrong year.
Oh, well.
Are we concerned with the running game?
No, not at all, actually.
Not if you can sling the ball around like that.
Not at all, actually. Okay. You know why? Because running the ball is for nerds. Running the ball is for nerds.
Oh, boy.
First and 10, sling it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
First play of the game, throw as long as you can, as far as you can.
We're going to see. So, Peyton Barber, what were his final stats? Read those off.
16 carries.
Okay.
22 yards. 1.4 average.
You're going to see, I think you're going to see quite a bit. I don't know if I say quite a bit. You're going to see more games that are like that,
mm-hmm.
that the Bucks are going to win. Because at the end of the day, like with Peyton Barber and the whole thing about him being the Bucks starting running back is it only matters on those three or four really key carries that they're going to have, that they need hit something from him. And sometimes it might be just a yard, you know, and it might be the job that gets – that they need to get done, and it gets done. And so I'm really not. I see that stat line. Obviously, it's, you know, I think it's less than 2 yards a carry, right?
Well, yeah, 1.9.
I mean, it's just like those are really low numbers for a running game. But
I was disappointed Ryan Fitzpatrick's running, though. He averaged less than 1 yard a carry.
He did.
That was way down from last week. So they've got to flip that script, or they're going to lose a lot of games this year if he's not.
You know what's crazy? I mean, the Buccaneers have, I believe, the top-ranked passing offense. After this game, they were number two last week. I think the Chargers were number one.
I don't know. Yeah.
And so they're either number one or number two, I think, in passing.
Yeah.
And they're probably last in running. Such a huge discrepancy there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but they're going to be in the top five again.
But again, like, I would rather. Oh, man, people are going to scream.
If you're averaging 430 yards of offense, you're going to be the top rated offense when the season's over.
That's like, people are going to scream. You're going to win a lot of football games. When I say this, but I'd rather it be that way than the other way around.
Of course.
Because a lot of people love teams that, like, run the ball and they can run it consistently, and obviously it's less risk and things like that. But when you talk about making deep playoff runs, you obviously are going to have to get to a point where
it's a quarterback league.
Yeah. You can run the ball. Not saying you can't run the ball and win in this league. You
Jacksonville
definitely can.
Jaguars.
But, like, the Jaguars, right. I mean, come on. The Jaguars had the season that they did last year because, one, their defense was absolutely elite. You need that. The running game was fantastic, but the key is, though, is that, like, Blake Bortles had zero turnovers, like, the entire season, then they ran into teams that they had to outscore, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, and it came down to Blake Bortles versus Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game.
Right, you know? Right.
And
a great quarterback's going to beat a great defense. That's just the way that it is. That's just the way that it is.
We could set that up for the last several
years. Yeah, it's just the way it is. Absolutely. So, like, you've got it. There is – a ton to be encouraged about not only what the Bucks are doing, mm-hmm. how they're doing it.
Pass protection too is huge.
I'm seriously considering
huge.
I'm seriously so considering far. Stealing that boat tonight and taking it to the bay and see if it'll float. I'm just staring at
what
it.
Do you
I'm
think
wondering.
The odds are it floats.
Well, after if you go to T. Mahoney's, 100%, but before yeah. probably 0%. So
yeah, and I mean it's been docked there since 1998.
Yeah, so probably some
probably
termite
not.
Damage.
I would suspect that.
All right, yeah. Probably not going to do that, guys. Something I want to talk about on our next podcast later in the week, Wednesday or Thursday, whenever we do it this week. I don't want to get into the debate now because we don't have time. Does Jameis Winston put up these same numbers? Is this a product?
Yeah, we'll have
is Fitzpatrick
we'll
Fitzpatrick's
have to get
performance a reflection of Ryan Fitzpatrick? Or this offense and this scheme and the skill position players.
Well, we're not allowed to talk about
no,
it right
I
now.
Wanna,
so.
No,
just
no,
leave, we'll just leave that to let you guys ponder and share your thoughts
Tune
with us on the message
week.
Boards. Absolutely. For Trevor Sikkema, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook saying so long from a 2-0 Buccaneer team at Raymond James Stadium. We'll be back later in the week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.